nothing but hitters tonight.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Texas Whiskey Crew, the podcast. My name's Steve.
I'm Nick.
And we don't have Dave, the intern, tonight, but we went and found another Dave to replace him.
to replace him. Sorry, just, Dave, this is how you're finding out.
just kidding, buddy. We miss you. I hope you're enjoying your work trip. But y'all, this is who we call Cibolo Dave.
This is Instagram, I believe. Cibolo Dave. So if you're looking, Cibolo Dave.
And go hit him up, check his pictures out, give him a follow. But Dave, we're happy you joined us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate you inviting me here.
Of course. As you can see from the table, for those watching the video, Nick always has a dozen bottles out there for us to try. So
I did just get back from Michigan and Kentucky. So, yeah.
I wish you all the best after this, you know. No, but honestly, we're always excited to try all these new things here. But we wanted to kind of start this off with finding a little bit more about who Dave number two is.
Dave 2.0.
Not Dave 2.0.
2.0.
And kind of what you're about. And I'll give you a little backstory real quick. The reason that we kind of ran into him was Instagram. You know, we tend to see a lot of the people that are whiskey lovers out there and, you know, give him a follow, check him out, look, and we're like, wait a minute, this guy's close by, and he knows a lot about whiskey, knows a lot about cigars, likes the same things we like. Yeah. So it's like, man, we got to meet you. So why don't you give us some insight? What got you down this rabbit hole? What got you into whiskey?
Well, so I started off mainly cigars for the longest time, but I had a lot of work buddies that drank, and most of them did scotch. So I dabbled in it, but I never really acquired it. So it kind of pushed me off from bourbon or trying other whiskeys for a while because I was so caught up on the scotch part. Mm. And so, unfortunately, because of that, I lost all the good years that everybody talks about, you know, when you can walk in and buy stuff off the shelf. So I missed out on that because of scotch. But when I started with, I was at a bar with a friend and he goes, try this. And it was Angel's Envy, you know, and to me it was, you know, I didn't know at that time anything about it. So I tried, I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you've been drinking scotch. He goes, you want to try bourbon or whiskey? And so from there, it kind of took off. And so I just was on the ultimate hunt looking for stuff that everybody was talking about because I didn't have an opinion at first, right? So, and now, you know, I've learned more and more about it. So I feel comfortable being able to walk in and make a decision, you know, and not necessarily buying because of FOMO or, you know, somebody on Instagram said you have to buy it kind of thing. So that's kind of how I got to doing the bourbons and the whiskeys. But yeah, it all kind of started with cigars.
Very cool.
That's cool.
I do like cigars.
Yeah, that's kind of your jam. I just listen
to y'all.
I listen to y'all and you tell me what's good and I somehow try to find the flavors in there. I'm still
I used to. I can't. I'm going to tell you right now. I can tell you kind of flavor profiles for bottles. I can't do it for cigars. Yeah. I can't. I'm like, it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Cigars, and especially because I've been doing it so long now, it's kind of hard to pull out a lot of flavors. So sometimes I have my son smoke it because he's fresh palate.
He's of age. Really.
Yeah,
he's of age.
21 years.
He's seven. He's fine.
And so he'll tell me, oh, I taste hay and I taste this. And
I'm like, okay.
You know, I guess I can kind of taste that now, but yeah, I guess because I've done it so long, I only know what I like and not like kind of thing, you know? And so that's how I pick a cigar really now.
I have done that with my daughter who is not of age. I let her smell my whiskey and she'll give me notes and she's really good at it. She's only 13. I'm like, you're a little too good at this. She's like vanilla and hazelnut. I'm like, all right. Wow. I'm like reading the paper. I'm like, that's what it says.
You know, from what I understand, women have a better sense of smell than we do as men.
We've talked about this. They're also better at shooting.
They are. I let my wife shoot my bow once. Mm-hmm. First time like ever shooting.
Yep.
I've been doing this for a long time and mm-hmm. she straight up whooped me.
Because they have no ego.
Probably
we have egos.
True.
We have egos. We want to be the best of the best. And
yeah.
Women just go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
Much better at us at everything than we are.
Yeah, this is true.
We need to cut that. We need to cut all that out.
That's one of those, hey, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, cut all that about women being great. No, I'm just kidding. No. Women are awesome.
My wife was watching this. They're talking about their cigars.
No. I'm not. I love my wife. She's wonderful. You know, she got me a new bottle the other day. No, we're just jealous because we want to be able to smell things and have superpowers to shoot better. So, you know. But beyond that, What are we drinking here? You poured some for us a little bit ago.
I don't know. It's this crazy little ball here. This is the 13 Colony 15-year anniversary cask strength. 139.2 proof.
You know, the initial hit I get off that one is like almost heaven. Like a, well, it's like almost like a green tea kind of vibe, like the very first piece of the taste on it. But it's good. It's pretty complex.
Their stuff is always different. We've talked about this before. I have one that we did the pick with, the bourbon. I get cilantro. Cilantro for days. And I love that bottle. And Dan, who I was hanging out with last weekend, Dan says he gets sugar cookie dough.
Really?
I'm like, where do you get sugar cookie dough out of that? Like, I don't get it. But, like, you know, everybody's palate's different. People taste different things.
They do.
I told you before, cigars, I can't get notes anymore. Maybe it's because I smoke so many. But I drink a lot of bourbon, and I can still kind of somewhat get notes. Yeah. And it's just funny how things just kind of work on your palate a little bit differently. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Especially when you pair cigars with whiskey. It's a whole new ballgame.
What cigar pairs well with that?
I would go with a dark cigar. Maduro, okay. Something like that. Just because it's such a hot, hot hitter. Certain people, who I can't name because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but stated the way that they think things are happening over here. Because, you know, there was a
report. Yeah, there was some scandals.
They think there's stuff going on. Yeah, no. I think what it is, someone said they would maybe knock the barrel down a little bit. Maybe do half a barrel instead of a full barrel. Like, put less in there so it ages faster.
Yep.
I don't know if we can say that or not, but I don't think a lot of people watch us, so we should be okay. So, again, that's just hearsay. So, but that was rumored. That might be what they're doing. Because there's always been things like, oh, that's not theirs. They're not aging it. They're adding stuff. I don't think they are. It doesn't taste like they're adding anything. You know what I mean?
Extra wide gaps in the barrels for the Angels here.
I think people just complain when someone comes out with something new and it's good.
Right. You know, truly, there's a lot of truth to that, right? Because anytime, especially someone that's relatively new and it turns out a hitter of a product, instead of like relishing it and saying, this is amazing, they're like, well, wait a minute. You must be doing something to make it better. And I disagree with that because I've had some pretty new stuff on the market out there and been very impressed with it. Surprised. Yeah. But I'm like you. I do appreciate unique stuff too. You know, I don't like the same old, same old. I like stuff to have character.
That's what it is for me. And that's why I like single barrels. And that's why I like store picks. I like off-profile stuff. I think once you've had so much different whiskey, it gets to a point where you're like, okay, I've had this before. Yeah, it's really good. I've had this before. It's okay. But when you get to it, you're like, what is this? And that's the kind of thing. Like, we've talked about the Barrel Thieves, Blue Run. It tastes yeasty and bready. And I think that's one of my favorite picks.
Yep.
You know, everything done by Traverse City. Of course. You know, Barrel Thieves, again. But the Barrel Thieves don't exist. Just hearsay.
Yep.
I told Dave when he got here, I feel so bad because I could literally kill him with how much stuff I want to give him today. Because when you have someone new over, I mean, obviously he's going to be over more than once, but it's one of those things you just want to share all the news. Like, try this one. He's like, I can't feel my legs. So we're going to take it easy on him tonight and just kind of have a good time.
Well, I think that's the truth. I think after about number 8 for me is usually when the taste profile starts to linger.
That's because you fill up your Glen to like 4 ounces.
I've gotten better. Did you? You were at a tasting with me last night. Did you see how good I did? I was just...
Well, because they gave you little cups. You couldn't put any more in there.
I was happy. I came home. I'm like, I'm great.
Steve's like, I didn't drink a whole Glenworth. They didn't give you a Glen. If they would have, you'd been like, let's go.
I was at a tasting with Hard Truth Distilling on Monday. And this guy, Roger, that's the regional rep, was, he's like, hey, just, I was with the owner of another business, and he just hands us the bottle, and he goes, just pour your own. I'm like, maybe you should pour for me. He's like, no, you're big boy, you can pour. I'm like, that's the problem. But hey, it wasn't me this time. I poured regular little pours of taste. Did really good. It was one of the other gentlemen on the other side of the table. I watched him, and every single one was up to here in his Glen.
No.
By the end of it, he was sitting there. Very, very intent look. Like, I know where you're at, buddy. I know where you're at. But
so what is your favorite whiskey? Or what is your top, let's say top 5, no particular order, top 5 that you enjoy?
I really love Old Carter stuff.
Nice.
Old Carter's great.
American 11 is my
favorite. Yes, I actually have an American 11. I do.
That one is my ultimate favorite.
I paid a lot of money for that. Because I heard how good it was.
And you're like, yeah.
Well, I tell you, we were actually at Old Carter. And we were actually at Justin's House of Bourbon. And Mark came in and sat down and was hanging out with us.
Right next door.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, have you have you tried my thing? I was like, no, I've never even been to this. He's like, let's go. So he walked us over. We went upstairs and he pulled one out. And I tried it. I'm like, oh, I was sitting there in front of him, Googling it, found one, bought it. Like right there in front of him. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever had. Yeah. Mark Carter is amazing.
He seems like a super nice man. He comments whenever I post something.
Yeah.
He will always comment on his brand.
Yep. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Agreed. Okay, what else you got?
So that one's number one. And then my newest one that I've discovered that I like, and I got it at Justice House of Bourbon on that trip, was the 15 Stars Triple Cask.
Okay, I do not have one. Yeah. I saw them there, but I do
it's
not have
really
one.
Really good. I'll bring some samples of that next time.
Okay.
And so I've since tried their first watch, I believe, is the newest one that's come out. Amazing as well. So I could definitely bring some samples of that next time.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, definitely love those two. And then I kind of go into the traditional. I like, you know, the Old Forester Black Label single barrels.
See, you're one of those. Because I think you actually like flavor more.
I do.
Yep. I like blue labels because they're hot, and I love hot.
Oh, yeah, that's so my favorite.
I started off with it because I didn't even know the black labels existed because I'd never seen one.
Yeah.
And the blue ones, you can kind of run in and you'll see them. So I have like four or five, and I like them, but they're hot. Right?
Yeah.
And then I saw the black label one, and I bought it. And I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, it's, I could taste the deepness and riches. And I do like higher proof on some of my stuff, but for some reason with the Old Forester stuff, like that 100, you know, proof range, I think that's why I like the 1924 so much, is that it kind of fits.
It's right a good bottle. It's the price is the problem, I think. Yeah. $120 for a bottle.
Quite a bit.
Do you feel like it's that much better than the 1920?
Probably not. I mean, you could. I think because you can taste the. It's older.
Yeah.
I think that's the.
Yeah, you can get a little bit of age off of it. I agree.
The proof wise, I think when you taste it, it's pretty similar. And a lot of their stuff that's that 100 proof range is kind of similar with, you know, they tweak, you know, something on it. But
you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, no. I like that, and I'm a big Smoke Wagon fan.
See?
I started with that by going on to Las Vegas and always buying a bottle and on there because I could never find it here in Texas.
Yeah, you couldn't for a very long time.
Yeah. So yeah, I kind of, and everything else is kind of like, you know, just depends. My flavors have changed so much. You know, a rare character.
Of course.
That. And I was telling y'all earlier that I got the Fuente special edition one from Grand Cathedral, and it was only released in Tampa, Florida, Grand Cathedral Cigars. And so they had 140. So my wife bought tickets because she knew I was an Arturo Fuente fan and she knew I liked rare character.
Mm-hmm.
And so she bought us a VIP pass because that's the only way you could assure yourself of getting one. And when we showed up, they only had seven of them because they had sold so many in events prior.
Oh, wow.
And so luckily, my wife's a bulldog. And that's kind of the thing I like now is my wife kind of enjoys whiskey a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm not the pushy kind. You know, she'll like, you know what I mean? And she'll ask people like, go check in the back and all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we were number two in line at the Arturo Fuente thing. And so I got that and I was like, oh my gosh. So that kind of started my love affair.
That's really cool.
With the rare character stuff.
That's awesome.
That's pretty dang cool. Well, I agree with you on everything you said. They're all. I'm a big fan of all those as well. Huge Smoke Wagon fan.
Is your wife's favorite too?
Yeah. Well, it is, and she's got a couple others that dabble in the higher end that we get for special. But Smoke Wagon, uncut, unfiltered for me, I'm never disappointed, man. I mean, I went through the entire cycle of that. You know, starting with, you know, batch one and two, and then have just run up, and I still haven't found one I don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would agree that Old Forester, I think, in my opinion, is the most underrated bourbon on the market. I think people don't realize how good, like 1920 is, you know, and you're not going to find it really in an allocation situation typically, and you can buy it at a good price, and it doesn't disappoint. It's good. Okay, so we talked about your favorites.
Oh, we're going to go the other way, huh?
Well, what is your least? I have my least favorite. Nick has his. What's your least favorite?
There's a couple that I bought that I'm like, what the heck was I doing? The first one was, it was one called Indianville or Indianaville. I forget. It's in a square-shaped bottle.
Woodenville.
Okay. Woodenville. That was like the second or third bottle that I bought.
Okay.
And
there's one. I don't like a lot of their stuff.
And I tried like their higher proof stuff. Like, ooh. And so I that's usually what I push on people when they
house. Like, I'm not really a whiskey fan. I just like to drink it. I got the bottle for you, sir.
Here's the one you're going to try.
And then other than
that, I say there's a whole bunch of Woodenville somewhere. I know I have some
somewhere. You got in the garage.
But there probably are. No, there's one in here somewhere.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot that I've run into that I
not a huge fan of.
Get past that point. Okay. And I think it's just, I think what it was is that I think I got their port cask because it was a little bit more expensive than their normal. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, $10 at the time I was really a beginner. I said, ooh, $10 more and mm-hmm. it's a port cask. That must be the thing to mm-hmm. do. But I think they just didn't do it right.
Oh, gotcha.
And so I've not really ever gone back to that bottom.
Okay. Bin. What's your least favorite? you know. You made me say it.
I am.
Okay, Balcones.
Okay, that's fair.
Right.
Balcones is a little off profile, but here's the thing. We usually don't drink normal Balcones. We drink Brujeria or what is the other one that's really crazy?
Oh,
I forgot the name of it. The Brimstone.
Brimstone, yep.
So things that are just really crazy off profile, finished weird stuff. They're normal. Like that rye was not bad. It's not the best.
I mean,
but it's not bad.
It's way better than Beam 8 Star.
That's funny you say that because actually today, surprise for you, I have the distiller. Here, back from Balcones. I'm just kidding. You were like turning a little red there for a second.
the one thing you do. Now, see, that's the thing. So it's a tongue-in-cheek thing. I say this, and I will absolutely give them a chance to change my mind. I would love to visit their distillery. They're good people. I like the grounds. I like what they're doing. But I also wasn't a huge Scotch guy. I don't mind single malts. I like them, but I tend to err on the higher end single malt category for what I like. Nick has introduced me to a few that I've been like, wow, these are actually really good.
There's only one that I like, and that's Rare Character.
So I believe going into it, I have the wrong, maybe the mindset. Wrong mindset when yeah. I drink Balcones because I don't ever prep myself to be drinking a single malt. I'm in bourbon mind. I'm in whiskey land here. I'm like, I'm going to drink bourbon, you know, and I think I look for those flavor profiles. So if I go into it thinking single malt, this is going to be the flavor profile, maybe I would appreciate it a little more. I'm told by Emma Kahn, the master distiller up at Iron Root.
Name drop.
Yep. She, well, hey, whenever a master distiller gives you a piece of advice, because I had this conversation with her and I was honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said, hey, have you been over to Balcones? I was like, yeah, no, not a huge fan. And she kind of put me in my place there for a minute. And so she's like, look, this is what they're doing. They've been bought out. They've got some new stuff going on. She goes, you need to give them a chance. I know they've got some special stuff coming up. We had the rye, which was a recent release. You bought that one.
Yeah.
And that was
it was actually fairly well priced, too. Yeah, that's the thing. Most of their stuff is higher, 60s, 70s. I think this one was like 50 or 40. I don't remember exactly what it was. But
it's like Garrison, right? It's a love-hate thing. I mean, people either absolutely love it, or they just don't like it. And there's no real middle ground for them.
I used to hate it. I'm not going to lie. Their old stuff I didn't like. But the newer stuff is actually kind of growing.
It's good. Yeah. Well, I like their
stuff. The new Guadalupe is phenomenal.
Yeah. I like Lady Bird. I mean, I like some of those. But
yeah.
So your least favorite, Nick?
I don't have like a brand. I mean, Balcones is not my favorite. But I think just anything that's that very, I like dilly rye, but I don't like minty rye.
You didn't like the smoked wagon malted rye. That was super dilly.
No, I mean,
that was the golden.
The green. Gold ones. Okay. But I've had the experimental, which is the green, dark green rye. Those were phenomenal. Yeah. Those taste like pickles. And I love that. I mean, I like Basil Hayden malted rye, pickles and mayonnaise. I call it pickles and mayonnaise.
You like Basil Hayden?
I love it. So there is none up here. So you get the joke. Okay?
Nick stores it in a secret area.
That's locked, right. Vault. It's actually in my garage. Safe. So no one else touches it. That's right. I'm a huge fan of it because that's what got me into whiskey. I started doing old fashions with their dark rye, and it's the best old fashioned. I guarantee you, if I make you one, it'll be your favorite too. So
I'm not going to give you trouble about that because I'm still, Smoke Wagon was really like a gateway thing for me. I do like 107. So do so many others. But I had this conversation with somebody didn't like it the other day.
107?
That was crazy. Yep.
They're smart.
Just told them they had bad taste. So, I asked them to leave, and it's like, yo.
You need to get out of my house like, now.
Pretty much turns out I don't like you. No, I'm not that way. Everybody has a different palate, different profile. I do appreciate things that other people like, and I try to find the good in a lot of what is presented to me. Because the last thing I want to do is, in my line of work, in sales, and especially the real estate side of things, the majority of my client meetings involve having some kind of drink with people, and people know I like whiskey, so that team seems to be the thing when I come over. They pour me a glass, and inevitably, somebody will say, I've got a new one. I think you'll love it. And they'll pull out
something crazy.
Something crazy, yeah. You know, that I've passed a million times and I know what it is. And I'm just like, I'm not going to drink that one. pour it for me. And I'm like, oh, thank you. That's such a cool bottle. Wow. And I'm sitting there like, Love it. Like, what was I thinking? So for any of my clients that do listen, I love y'all. Y'all have great taste. These are one-off
clients.
Except
for whiskey.
Yes. And it, you know, I've helped educate most all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and we even converted Sterling, who competes on the Texas Whiskey Crew barbecue team. He was a big Scotch guy forever. Like, you know, getting into the old, the 15, the 18-year-old stuff. And now he's learning the bourbon stuff and just really relishing it and hitting some good bottles out there. And I love it. I love to see kind of that transition. You know, do you think as a former scorer, still a Scotch guy, do you go back and forth between the two now?
No, I mean, I've acquired the taste of some scotches. Not like I like this, oddly enough, the Cigar Batch from Dalmore.
Yeah,
I like that one. Oh, and I do like the rare character, the single malts type stuff. But I'm not really, I can't pick up, like, you know, even on vacation, if it's they have their red label, this or that. I really can't. I think because I think back to when I didn't care for it so much. And I try not to be so close-minded, because then you don't try anything if you say, I'll never have a scotch, right? But yeah, I try to taste the ones that people really highly recommend, especially when I trust their palate, because I'm like, I don't want to miss out on something just because of something that happened in the past.
I think for me, I have to be feeling really good. And then if I switch to like High West Campfire, or if I switch to like a scotch, I love it. Love it. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. You know, you're feeling good. You're like, I'm gonna keep going. So that's about the only time. The closest thing is Japanese stuff, because I do like some Japanese stuff. But again, I can't start with Japanese stuff. I have to start with something else and feel good. Then I'll be like, oh, this is good.
So, I guess I kind of agree with that. Centauri and a few of the other...
Yamazaki, Hakushu, yeah, those are like,
I mean,
you know,
they're good. I mean, and I do appreciate the process. And I mean, as far as like process goes and being like... diligent and doing things like the absolute right way. I mean, they're on it. So the craft itself is meticulously made and it's beautiful. I mean, but you have to be able to appreciate those flavor notes. And I think it takes a little bit of palate training to actually learn what you're looking for and to find it. But it's power of persuasion, right? You said with cigars, someone says, hey, do you, you know, taste toasted hay or something like that? And like, no, I would have never come up with it. But now, guess what? I found that.
I think, because, you know? I think everybody pulls out different notes, though. You know what I mean? Like, you might smell a toasted marshmallow, but I smell like a creme brulee. Like, I think there's always, you know. A
little crossover.
And I think that's just with everything.
So. I tend to agree with that. Well, we got
better.
Well, we only have one member of the group that's got some palate problems.
Poor Dave, when he's not here, we always shit on him.
No, and I only, you know, you'd be proud of him, Nick. So he came over the other night.
Doubt it. Go ahead.
And he said, I want to have a pour. I said, great. He knew Shelly and I had cracked the Rear Perfection for our anniversary. And he's like,
the 15 year, 14 year.
The 15. 15 year. I don't like 14.
Okay.
So I said, you want to try a little bit? He's like, yeah, I think I want to give it another shot. Yeah, I drank it.
He still didn't like it.
No, he tasted it and handed me the glass.
I don't get it, man. I mean, it's not.
Do you know that one? Okay.
It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's very good. It's more sweet, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet for.
It is.
I don't know what he doesn't like, but he's a huge Garrison Brothers fan. So he likes those like harsh notes and stuff like that.
He does like heavy note. I mean, heavy char. Kind of that spicy flavor profile. I mean, like Cowboy, right? Cowboy,
he likes a kick.
Cowboy has a hell of a kick. Yeah. I mean, it does. I mean, it's, you know.
Even it does, but not for 140.8 or 9, whatever it is. Yeah. It's not really that bad.
But not like Stranahan's. Stranahan's drinks like gasoline to me. But I don't know. I know a lot of people love it. And I know
Stranahan's, if you would like to support us, please reach out.
I'm not saying I don't like you. I'm just trying to find my way.
I know a lot of people are saying the new Blue Label's really good or good. I've never tried it because I have been let down from other stuff before. Uh-huh. So I don't know.
When I had them early, like Garrison Brothers, I had Stranahan's when they first hit the market.
I had 291.
So I have found a newfound appreciation for 291.
We should, because it's made with aspen.
Aspen.
You know, those.
Aspen's like the worst wood to make anything with.
It's a Steve wood. I mean, no, it's a Dave wood.
It's a Dave wood.
It's a Dave wood.
It's like
the quaking aspens.
Yeah, it's like the redheads. They're like quaking aspens. They're all in the same root. I mean, that's his whole
deal. We literally miss you so much, Dave. We're talking about you while you're not here.
There is literally something up on the monitor up there.
It's probably like, would you like to start recording?
it better not be that route.
Let's just see what it says. Software update. You're good.
Oh, good. Yeah, so hopefully it just keeps working.
It will. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
From this point.
I was super comfortable, too, and I got up.
My apologies.
That's all right. Just don't let it happen again.
You know, the majority of the people that listen to us are usually driving somewhere, from what I understand from the feedback I get.
But not drinking while driving.
No. We tend to fill up space, you know, while your buddy Brent's driving from his house to
100%. 100%.
Oh, poor Brent. You know, you missed it, buddy. I know you have. But so we'll stop giving Dave trouble for at least 3 minutes.
We'll talk about what we're drinking now.
Yeah. So
everybody buds down, yeah? Everybody but Steve.
I'm going to be there. I'm just trying to finish this last one here.
So I was in Kentucky last week, and we did a Green River pick with the Bourbon Junkies, Brian Alves, and Ron Miles. Ron Miles used to be the rep for him in Michigan. That's how we all met him. I have a great story about him. I'll tell it here in a second. But we did a pick with him. We talked. He is super cool. He's saving an allocated barrel for us from Green River.
Way.
He has his own allocations, and he's saving one for us.
That's freaking sweet.
He's phenomenal. He's got a baby on the way any day now, so super excited for him. While we're there, it's in Bardstown because they're owned by Bardstown. It was in Louisville.
Yep.
Their new building that they have, downtown Louisville. It's gorgeous.
Is that where the one where that big painting was on the wall? Is that where that is?
No, so that's an old one. That's actually Ryan Elvis's shop in Louisville. But that's the old one. They've changed it. It's a new one now. But I love that. Getting lucky.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I love it. So anyways, this is Series 11. I got it when we were walking out. I was like, oh, I got to grab it. They also had the Carters.
I got
that. Do you have the Carter one? So I haven't tried that. So we'll have to do a little swap. That is Mark Carter's vineyard, right? Yeah. Correct? Yeah. Yes? Okay, that's very cool. So this is 73% Kentucky, 13-year-old, 75, 13, 12 for the mash bill, corn, rye, malt, barley.
Yep.
21% Kentucky, 10-year-old, corn, 78, rye, 13, malt, barley, 9. A little bit of a change there, a little different. And then 6-year Bardstown Bourbon Company. You notice there's no Tennessee.
No.
And I love this.
I think they started to get away from that once they started doing their own... Just the two.
68% corn, 20% wheat, 12% marched barley. Marted barley. I can't talk today. Out of Bardstown. So it's damn good. I mean, it's the first thing they've haven't had Dicklin in, I think, a couple of years, right?
Because most everything. That West Virginia collab they did,
Virginia to Tennessee?
I don't think it had Tennessee. No, it's not that one. Come on now.
It's a song. I know. Okay. I shouldn't have become.
I was there.
Were you there?
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah. You know, I got lots of family out there.
What do you think? Try it? Yeah, what do you think?
It's great.
You like it?
And I love Bardstown.
Have you found many or any that really disappointed you? I haven't.
No, but I haven't.
Even their base expression. So we went to a tasting with them. Were you at that one where they gave the little boxes away?
No, but you saved me a box, remember?
I did. Yeah, well, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a really good job on their tasting and presenting, and we got a lot of back history on them. But everything that they gave us that we tried, even down to their white dog for the distillate that they're producing now, was very good. I mean, the only problem I have with their stuff is, like many of the things we like, it's extremely expensive, you know, at retail for the limited release stuff, like the 4-square bottles and things like that. You know, they all sit around, that $130, $140 range.
I think everything nowadays that comes out just kind of pulls like a premium. I think that's what they're doing. That's just how it is. So...
That's amazing. Yeah, being a loving Carter, that's when I had one. When they said they were coming out, it was a Kentucky only release. I was like, what's the odds? And when I walked in the gift shop and they had a couple there, I was like,
yoink. When I was at Justin's waiting for my flight, because I planned my flight really late for some stupid reason, they had Discovery 2. Oh my God. I was like, I'm just about to sneak that bottle right out of there.
So I'm drawing a blank. Which Discovery was the reddish maroon colored label?
Green 2 is green. I don't remember. Probably 4 or 5.
I think it was 4.
One of them was really good. 4 or 5 was really good.
4 was my jam. Like, it was my favorite out of all of them, but you can't, can't seem to get it anymore.
Well, you can find it, but you're going to pay for it.
You're going to pay.
Yeah.
Well, you somehow find bottles from the 1960s, so.
Well, again, Justin's House of Bourbon. Ryan Alves is the man, the myth, the legend. And he always takes care of us whenever we go up there. He's such a great guy.
I look forward to getting up there and meeting him because I probably did meet him at Kentucky Bourbon Fest because I was talking to the folks over at the Justin's House of Bourbon booth there because they had a whole wall.
If there was a girl, that was Caroline. I don't know about guys.
I met a girl and a guy.
Okay. It was definitely Caroline. It might have been Ryan, but it was definitely Caroline.
But they, it was pretty cool. Everybody had like tents and stuff, and these guys had like an entire wall with a glass case outside. You know, it was pretty awesome,
around.
Man.
Yeah, Justin doesn't mess around.
They were set up right next to the museum, the Kentucky Museum of Whiskey or of Bourbon, right there.
Okay.
But what a cool thing! But man, this is a good pour.
Bar sounds really good.
That's a good pick. So, along those lines, Nick, out of all of the things that you went and did, so you went to Michigan.
I did.
And then you went to Kentucky.
I did.
You had everything.
I did.
Yes. What stood out about that, man? I mean, A, you did a pick and you did a hell of a bang-up job on it. It's a really good one with
Evernorth. And don't get me wrong. It's a great pick. I love it. But something overshadowed it by a very large margin.
Oh, would that be a Taylor pick?
That would be an E.H. Taylor pick with Freddie Johnson as our private tour guide.
Man, my wife was freaking... she went all fangirl about that. She loves Freddie. Like... My wife loves bourbon. So Freddie's like her jam. She says that's who got her in to whiskey. Like his passion for it. Yep.
Yeah. If you've seen Neat, you know who Freddie Johnson is. Last time we went, we found him and we're like, hey, we take a picture with us at a gas station. There was a small incident before that, which probably made him not want to ever talk to us again.
You were talking about some kind of sexual toy or something, right?
No, there were some sex pills, Rhino 9000 sex pills.
You remember the name?
And Sean, I remember, because it's on the stag pick that we did. It's on the bottle. Wherever it's at, it's right here.
Rhino 9000.
That's the little right next to the gun. It says RH9000. Rhino 9000. Sean puts his arm around me. Sean Paisley from Bourbon Junkies puts his arm around me, goes, something about you want to... tonight, you know what I mean? Just straight up. And I was like, oh yeah. And Freddie's in front of us at the gas station or in the line. We didn't realize it was him. And he just kind of turns around. We're like, oh shit, it's Freddie. We're like, hey, you want to take a picture? He goes, are y'all going to Buffalo Trace? We're like, yeah. He's like, I'll find y'all there. That's where it ended. So he actually came and found us and he took pictures with us and he found us multiple times. But then one of our guys, so the distillery that the Bourbon Junkies own, used to be a glass blowing shop. And the guy who owned it, who is named Chris Spragg, made Glens for all of us. We have mini Glens. Mine's downstairs. I keep it next to like somewhere where it'll never get damaged because I love it. They made it. Everybody's custom. So mine has a iridescent color. Some people had red, blue, orange, whatever their color was. Well, he had made one for himself, but when Freddie was there, he gave it to Freddie. And Freddie's like, oh my gosh, it's the coolest thing I've ever had. And he's like, I made that for you. You know, I made it. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, you'll see Freddie in pictures, and he'll be wearing that Glens to this day.
That's freaking cool.
How freaking cool is that? That's freaking awesome. So, but this time we actually got Freddie. What happened was Dan Sean got an Eagle Rare pick from a fan who was like, I want to do it for y'all. So Dan Sean got the Airbnb, rented it out, paid for all the food, paid for all the going out and everything, got the pick done. Well, then it went to the wrong store.
I think I heard this.
Yeah. So it went to the wrong store, and the guy was kind of a dick about it, and he paid in Google reviews.
Yeah, what was that? Was that one
Fossil or Fossil was his
was
name?
Was that one stop liquor in Washington?
It was
or where was that?
It was
last stop.
No, something market liquor. I wish I could shit on him right now because I don't remember the name of it. But everybody was calling, trying to get him to give it up. Finally, they got 9 cases back. Those 9 cases are going to the people that wanted the pick. So very cool. Ryan Alves doing what he does best, let everybody know, distributor, Saz, everything else, and got an EH Taylor pick. And so they brought us out there. Freddie was our guy. They made everybody hand like muddlers that they used. They carved out of the barrels, like out of the staves. And it has like our name and the date. And it has a huge brass placard on
that's
it.
That's cool.
Very cool. They took care of us. They really did. And that's all because of Dan and Sean. And of course, Ryan Alves from Justin's House of Bourbon.
Yeah, it wasn't even Saz's fault.
It was not.
And they still just, thing, I mean,
they still did what
so
they did.
For those, you know, those that don't know, we have this 3-tiered system in place. And a lot of stuff gets messed up with that. I mean, and stuff gets held up and it's, you know, it's antiquated. It's stupid. They need to figure it out. I know that a lot of people are happy with the way that works. But the fact is, something as special as a barrel pick, and it's important to whoever's doing it, it should have never gone to another store, nor should have that store owner.
The distributor said they looked up their system. They couldn't find it. And they just sold it like within a week. Yeah, so crazy. But Hopefully it's fixed now. Hopefully this next one doesn't get lost.
Well, badass that they took care of them. I mean, that, and that's cool that you got to experience that because, I mean, being on Taylor Pick, my God, yeah. That's a bucket list stuff right there, man.
Speaking of being on picks, I went on the Bourbon Junkies and went on the two backbone picks right there. And Ryan was with us. And so, speaking of Justin's House of Bourbon, this is Ryan's pick. It's called Ryan's Solo Ride 2.
Nice.
So that's what I'm going to drink next. So it is a wheat whiskey. It is 109.2 proof. There's only 100 bottles of this because Ryan loves very limited bottles. He has a hazmat rare character that he, I know, I didn't get one. He only got like 48 bottles, I think, or something like that. It was such a small quantity. Pink wax or orangish pink. I'm like, oh, I want one so bad, but I didn't get one. I did get that one, which is the Who Rhino, which is his Instagram.
Yep.
But this wheat whiskey is
so I'm
damn good.
Pretty much everything you've shared with me from Backbone's been really, mm-hmm. really good.
And again, it's all profile stuff. Sean picked a Irish or Scotch
okay.
base. It's not super like Irish. I don't remember what it was. It's an Irish guy on it, so I'm assuming it's Irish. And Dan picked.
Ooh, knows
I mean, great. I don't know what fucking Dan picked. Dan's fucking weird. And Dan's sick again because every time he travels fucking anywhere.
Yeah, I saw he was laying on the floor at the airport.
I took a picture of him passed on the airport.
Oh, did you take that picture that hit the Patreon?
No, I took the one of him laying down. I don't know if I sent it
yeah,
to
you. Yeah, it was on one they posted on Patreon of him that laying was, in the airport.
Yeah, he was fucked up. So Dan and Sean both have really bad motion sickness. And apparently I drove down. So here's what happened. I went to Michigan for 2 days. And then while I was there, we're like, hey, we're not going to pick it till Thursday. I got there Tuesday. I was like, okay. So I extended my flight to Sunday. I was like, all right, I'll go home Sunday. So we did the pick on Thursday and all that. And they're like, hey, someone back down the East Taylor pick, do you want to go? I'm never going to say no to that.
You're like, no, I'm busy.
So I canceled my flight and then I moved it to Tuesday. So I was there for a whole week. And then I flew out Tuesday straight to Kentucky. Well, I fly into Detroit and drove up because somebody told me at some point in time that you cannot rent a car at MBS. Not true. You can. So I know that now. That's what I'm going to do. But I drove to Detroit. Well, they flew from MBS, which is in Midland, or Bay City, I think is where it's at, to Detroit. And apparently it's the worst flight ever. And so Dan was in the bathroom throwing up.
Jeez.
Apparently the Dramamine he took didn't work. So the lady goes in there and tells him, hey, you have to sit down. He's like, I'm going to throw up. Constantly, like I can't. And she goes, I'm sorry, I'll get you a bag. That's the best I can do. So he apparently threw up on his pants.
Oh no.
So Sean, when we landed, Sean comes up to me. I'm sitting at the bar, I'm like four drinks in. I'm yeah. feeling great because I'm waiting on them. Sean's like, hey, Dan feels like dog shit. I'm gonna go get him some shorts because he threw up on himself. I'm like, all right, man. So Sean goes and gets some shorts. And the video last night, because they were live last night, he said those are his favorite golfing shorts now. So good job, Sean. Got him changed, and he was better after he took some more Dramamine. He was doing better. He was fine after that. So everything after that was great, but just that initial getting started was a little bit of a rough, God,
that's,
rough endeavor.
That's rough, man. Having motion sickness like yeah. that bad.
Both of them, and they're both from Michigan, so I'm thinking it's a Michigan thing. It's probably the water.
You know,
they're not from Flint.
No, right? Not that water.
They are not from Flint.
It's all
Flint.
The Dow and the Dow chemicals surrounding them.
Well, one of them used to work for Schmausch Chemical. So,
oh,
yeah, we don't talk about that.
No. But it can be like where you're from because, you know, one of my really good, you met Dan. He was on a pick with us. Dan from Colorado came out. You gave him the New Braunfels Bourbon pick. He was here on that light whiskey pick with us. You met Dan, trust me.
Okay.
He was here in your house, yes.
A lot of people have been in my house. That's not really...
The one that does our tumblers, the laser engraving.
Oh, so I mean, you say that, but I remember him, but go ahead.
Okay.
I believe.
But anyway, he's spent a lot of his life in Florida, and we spent all our summers there in high school, you know, and they're right on the Indian River, which is, you know, essentially attached to the ocean. And every time we go out, or we go out like deep sea fishing, he gets so seasick. I'm in there drinking beers and hollering back and enjoying myself, and he's hacking over the side and just no matter what, man. So I feel for people that
I get the boat thing's a little different because what it is for me is I won't get seasick, but when the other people start throwing up, I'm like, oh god, and so I get kind of nauseous. But I mean, I've been when we went to Mexico, we went to Cozumel and Isla Mujeres. We went to Isla Mujeres. We took the boat over.
Yeah, that's what we did.
And while we were there, yeah. like the waters were real choppy. They're like, hey, we can't go really far on this. We were scuba diving. Or not scuba diving. So we were snorkeling. And like, we can't go too far because it's really bad. So we're only going to be in the water for like 30 minutes. You have to wear a life vest. And what happens is when you're on that water, that life vest, you're just going like this with those waves.
Yep.
And so I get it. I was like, yeah, I feel kind of gross, you know?
That sucks they made you wear a vest. Did you go see the people down there?
No, we didn't go that far. No, we didn't go there because we couldn't because the waters were too choppy. We were probably 40 or 50 feet down, crystal clear waters. I saw a stingray like sitting on the bottom, like cool as shit. But yeah, we had to follow this guy. And I mean, he's like swimming like he's a goddamn professional swimmer. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm swimming on these waves. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking be sick. It's the waves. If I had taken my thing off, my vest off, I'd have been fine. Because I could have swam under the waves or kind of, but it's just you're riding those waves and it was rough.
That's crazy made you do it. So we rented, my brother-in-law got married in Playa. So we were staying there and we wanted to do something nice for everybody in the kind of group. So I booked one of those huge catamarans, a private one, from Cancun over to Isla Mujeres over there. And we're going to do, in between the two, we're going to snorkel. Well, we got the same deal. We were about halfway out to where all the statues are into the water. And these little storms are coming through, these little rainstorms and little thunderstorms. And we all got out of the boat. And there's some people that were real nervous because with the wind blowing, like you're saying, and the waves, they gave some of these people life vests, and I'm like, nah, I don't want that. Just let's just go with it. And they didn't make us have them, but the few people that went in with vests, like went into freak out mode within the first few minutes and they took them back and got them in the boat. But the rest of us, you know, we were down underneath. Yeah. So it was okay.
Yeah. They told us like, you're not getting the water without a vest. Oh. They wouldn't let us. But the funniest thing was when we got back on the boat. So everybody's, of course, it's two levels, but everybody on the bottom level that was there that was up chucking was throwing off the side of the boat. Well, inside the boat where you sit, and there's now about 3 foot extension. So everybody's throwing up on that 3 foot extension. Well, we're in the back. So guess where all that was going? I'll just give you a heads up. So needless to say, when we got there, we immediately were just like, what? You know, wash off. Yeah, it was a good time.
So it's worth the money to book your own private boat.
It is. It's expensive. It's worth it.
I still complain about it, but yeah, no. Dang. See? Sidetracked. I told you we just went off whiskey on the boats.
And oh shit, that's a whiskey motions. Podcast.
Yeah, forgot. My bad.
Forgot.
So, best part about Taylor pick, like all in all, what was the best part about that whole thing?
It was Freddie. It was impossibly hard to pick a sample.
Were they all amazing?
So here's the thing. We always joke about, and Dan says again last night. Sean always picks the shitters. Sean picked three times. We had three picks. We did E.H. Taylor pick. They did a Buffalo Trace pick. And we also did a Green River pick. And Sean picked the first barrel that was out in every single one of them. All three. It was a joke. All three he picked. The first one out. After the first one was out, I think we all unanimously agreed on the final two. The final two, it was pretty much 50-50. And then Freddie blinded us. So we all left. And some people like one person in particular, I don't remember who it was, but somebody had a little bit too much barrel char in theirs. So Freddie took it out just to make sure they couldn't. He was like, hey, where's my barrel char? Freddie's like, got you. So Freddie knows what he's doing. Yeah. But Freddie also likes schedule because Freddie's like, let's go. We picked one and we all agreed on it. And we're like, cool. Hey, Freddie, your opinion, which one do you like? And Freddie goes, I wrote it on my hand earlier today. He held up his hand as the barrel we picked.
Oh,
he had written it on his hand. Like he had it. He knew. Like he knew what he was doing. So that made us feel really good. But we got to go up to whenever they do like benefits and giveaways, people pay lots of money for a lot of benefit, like giveaways, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We actually got to go up to the farm. Buffalo Trace's farm. A lot of people know there is a farm.
Is that where those pictures were from?
Pretty. So we go up and you stay at it's a stag house. So it's George C. Stagg's house. It's like a log cabin-ish kind of thing. And then we got to overlook all of Buffalo Trace. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. So
that was a good tour.
It's one thing that a lot of people don't get to do. We also got to do a tour with Freddie, and he took us to the barrel area where they actually fill barrels. That day they were filling Weller's. We got to try Weller White Dog.
That had to be cool.
Yeah, and then we all got to plug a bung.
I've heard that about you.
Yep. I put that bung in that bunghole.
You just hammered it right in there.
I hammered the shit out. So, really good time. And then Freddie showed us a cool technique where, you know, we all know the trick where you pour a little whiskey on your hand and you smell it, you know.
Rub them together.
You know that. Yeah. But what you do is you smack it. First smack, you smell it and you get all the notes. And he tells you, like, all this. And you get a lot of good notes. But then the second time, you rub it again. Smell it again. Now it's just straight corn.
Yep.
It's so cool. And then you smack it the second time. And the third time, And then now your hands are, he told this whole thing. I think we recorded it. It's such a cool thing.
Amazing dude, though. Yeah,
he's really cool.
God, what a cool opportunity that was.
For sure.
Yeah, that's amazing.
For sure. No, so, I didn't say the other one.
Yeah. Hey, I find myself struggling now knowing that. So every time I'll say it in conversation, I'm just like, oh, damn.
I have gotten better. I try not to say it. I've talked myself off that ledge.
I haven't heard you say it
long. I haven't, unless I'm doing it on purpose. So this is my Michigan pick.
That was good.
So this is Nick's pick. It is 100% malted wheat finished in French oak.
And how many barrels did you go through?
It's from Iowa.
It is cedar. Am I at liberty to see who that is?
I think it's okay. Yeah.
It's Cedar Creek, isn't it?
Yeah. Something like that. I don't reckon remember. Yeah. All I know is I did 28 samples, and this is the one I picked.
28 samples in a row?
Yeah.
I did that at Copper Sky. You remember what happened?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
That was a shit show.
Yep. I built a statue in a park after that. I
mean, this will be available to Texas Whiskey Crew, New Braunfels Bourbon, and that's it for like 24 or so hours. Then it will go public because I honestly think it's going to sell out. There's only 117 bottles.
I don't think
it'll be 17 bottles are staying in the distillery for them to sell, and the other 100 will go to Bourbon Outfitters. So, and I'll give everybody the link so they have it.
Yeah,
I've had a lot of people reaching out for it. So
I just tried it. It, you know, honestly, it's unique. Nick,
it's definitely unique.
It's got a
that's the weirdest way to say something.
No, it's not though. Your tasting profile is dramatically different than everybody else because you love one off stuff that is different. And that one, it isn't unique in a bad way. It is simply unique in it is. Airs on a little bit of a scotchy note, but it drinks really nice.
There is a little bit of a. It is scotchy. I guess you could say that. It is scotchy note. There's something there that's very like single malt.
It is a single malt kind of profile, but not bad like some of the other ones we've mentioned.
It's a little smoke, deep, dark.
It does.
Smoke.
It does.
It's not peated, but it has like there's something there.
You're it's
like,
got character. I like it. I would drink it.
It's like me. It's a rare character.
Yeah.
It's not rare character, but it's like rare.
And plus, it's got a freaking amazing tater sticker coming out too.
Hopefully, we're hoping that'll work out. I don't know if it's gonna work out.
We should make it work.
I'm hoping it does.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that a screw cap on there?
Shout out, Bove. Shout out, Bove, who's never allowed to buy anything from Bourbon Outfitters ever again.
Bove is bougie AF, man.
Yeah, he is.
He got so upset about that damn screw cap.
Hey, $100 for a bottle of a goddamn screw cap. Yeah, fucking Bove.
That bottle went away so quickly. I didn't even have 3 minutes to jump on there and grab the damn
thing. There was 2,982 bottles, and it sold out in 30 minutes.
It was so fast. I was messing around with someone. I was like, oh, yeah, I need to jump on there and pick that up. Nope. But not as fast as that Pear Brandy Evernorth one that went out there. And I did get a bottle of that. Did you get on that one?
By the time I saw the link, it was too late.
My wonderful wife, man. I was upstairs doing some work on that, and she's like, Elvis posted they're doing the Pear Brandy one. And I was like, oh, I need to jump on there. And she's like, yeah, it's done. So
this Bourbon Lore group, they do some amazing things. And so they wanted an amazing whiskey. And this is an 18 barrel blend. 18 barrel. 18 barrel blend. And this is their straight bourbon whiskey. I wanted to say wheat, but it's not a wheat.
It's not a wheat or
else. Or something else. No. Sorry, wasn't supposed to talk about that part.
Nope.
Never happened. So the Bourbon Lore group did this. And if you follow Bourbon Lore on Instagram, or if you don't, follow them. They do some crazy stuff. So Bourbon Lore took a whole bunch of people to the Grand Canyon, took them on little small prop planes and flew them over the Grand Canyon, where a lot of people got really sick. Dan and Sean, just saying. But it's very cool. And I have a picture of Ryan Alves that he posted that he drinking like a 16-year-old Hirsch, like on the edge of the Grand Canyon.
That's pretty bad.
Like stuff like that. So I have only had this at Bourbon Outfitters. I mean, I'm sorry, Justin has a bourbon. I have not had it here.
So this is the first time trying it
here in my home. So super excited for it. Even though it is a screw cap, sorry, Bove.
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me either.
Make it easier to open.
That's right. It actually really is. It really is.
And you could like store it on its side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's not going to eat the cork.
It's really good.
If it eats through the metal, you know you got something. The nose is great on it.
I had some moonshine that we got, and it was from Canned Folk in Kentucky. Long, long time ago. and we had it in a mason jar and it ate through the lid. That's when you know it's good. We had a family member who, I can drink anything. He took one swig of it, trying to act like a hard ass. Guess what? He didn't talk the rest of the night. It was the best night I ever had.
We all know that guy.
We do.
I can take anything. Nothing bothers me. I'm like, all right.
Give him some hazmat-y stag and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah, my son's like that. Whenever we go out on a vacation, I'll drink you guys. And like 8 o'clock, he's already in the room. My wife are like, I guess he did not drink us today.
You know, that brings up a good point. I think I see that now with the younger crowd. You know, the newly 21s, the 21 to 25 range. A lot of those guys will tell me, hey, yeah, I love whiskey. I love bourbon. Yeah, and I'll share with them. And they'll hang out with me for about an hour and a half. And, you know, they're just keeping pace with me drinking. And all of a sudden, you know, they're just...
Do the lean.
Yeah. The lean. I'm like, this is really good. Man. I was like, that already got you messed up. But, I think it's a tolerance thing. But for me, it's the weirdest thing. I can drink 4 White Claws, and I'm afraid to admit this, but... I would be like
trash. White girl wasted?
White girl wasted, trashy drunk, man. I have those. I'm like, oh, shit, I got a hell of a buzz. You know, I'm like, you know, that's it's the weirdest thing for me. But I guess this is how your body processes.
Right. Yeah,
for sure. Because, I could have 5, 140 proof pours and just be just fine. Yeah. But I don't know.
Let's segue this.
All right. Into White Claws?
Yes.
All right.
I just happen to have a whole bunch right here.
Let's do it.
So Dave said he's got into cigars first. And then whiskey's kind of like his follow-up. So how about cigars? Let's do our favorite cigars. What's your favorite cigars? Yep,
100% it's Opus X.
Of course, yeah. Everybody loves Opus.
Every time I go to Florida, because they're like growing on trees in Florida. Mm-hmm. You can't find them rarely here, but I scoop as many as I can up. So that's probably my favorite. And then I love Drew Estate. I think they make a good, all of their line is usually pretty good. And the number 9s are my favorite.
Liga Privadas?
Yeah, Liga Privadas, number 9. And then... I probably would also say Padrones are up there. I like the 1926, but they're a little pricey.
Yeah, those are great.
I'll stick to the little brown label, because those are in the $10, $12 range. Mm-hmm. That, unless it's something spectacular, I'm going to stick in that, mm-hmm. that range.
But, nice. Yeah. How about whiskey paired with a cigar?
Yeah, so I
favorite think, whiskey pair with yeah, what cigar?
I'm going to have to say the Carter.
Really?
With an Opus X the other day. And I think I forgot what was the special. Okay, it might have been the Eclipse or so. I can't remember. I drank it because I try to save my good cigars for something memorable. And then I write where I smoke the memorable ones. The other ones, they get put on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I have a little cigar box. If I smoke one out of town or if I smoke one that like my birthday or Christmas, goes in that box.
That's pretty cool.
I could shuffle through them and say, I remember when I smoked that one.
Joseph Magnus, Cigar Boy.
Magnus is my jam too, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
That would be tough to...
Steve, favorite cigars. Do you have any?
Yes. Okay. So I have two. So I like Bradley Fine and Rares.
Of course.
Just magical experience.
There is a... I can't talk about it right now.
Okay.
Talk about it after this thing.
If I want
to... That's right behind you. That may be paired with some Fine and Rares.
No.
Okay. We'll talk about that all
time. I saw that post out there.
But... I know.
We're not talking about it. Okay. I did not see that anywhere.
Oh, don't put, you have to call all that out right there. No, I'm going to get in trouble.
I heard that. That was a bunch of whispering.
Yeah, that was whispering. Just bleed all that out.
I believe he said that Michelin doesn't make good tires.
That's right. Michelin's.
I like the dress. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Joseph Magnus.
Of course. Magnus Cigar Blend.
If you want to find a regular stick, I love the Padrones Anniversary Series. They're very expensive, but I also like Bradley Magic Toast. That's a good stick.
Magic Toast is great for me with coffee. I can't do that with whiskey because it's so strong. Unless I do something like hazmat, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But my favorites are Rocky Patel ALRs.
Oh, I like those.
I've always been a huge fan. Followed closely by Fine Rares are very good too. I'm a huge Matt Booth fan. So Room 101, Giant Tobacco Knots, Ezra's. Ezra Zions, I love cigars, man. I do. Yeah. And I think, honestly, the whole range of cigars, I think Oscars are by far my favorite.
Oh, I forgot about the number 2 pencil one, the Island Gems. I love those.
Yeah.
Those are good, too.
Drew Estate, right?
No. That's San Andreas is a...
Rocky Patel?
No. No.
It's Oscar.
It's Oscar. It's Oscar, right?
It's Oscar. Yeah,
is it Oscar?
I think so.
I think it is.
See, that's where
Island Gems are good.
Yeah.
it's so weird because everybody's selling, you know. Alec and them sold to STG. Drew State sold, I think, last year. I mean, just everybody. And I get it. I get it for sure. Alan Rubin is out. He's out of the business. And his sons, Alec and Bradley, still work for STG. So I think I want to get confused. I think Bradley does like artwork and stuff for them, but I'm not sure. And Alec is still like a rep, like a head rep guy. Yeah. Like he goes to all the places, to all the things. I've done multiple picks with Alec for the cigar. So I actually have a bottle for you up there. It is a Rebel Cask Strength. And they paired it with Gatekeepers.
And it's freaking good.
It's very good. So I have a bottle of that for you so you could try it. And we actually went to Starlight. And we did two barrels at Starlight. And we did one at Lux Row. And we paired them with cigars. And it was a good time. Alec, Bradley, and myself.
And I've had the pleasure of spending a couple hours in the car with Alec. And he is a shit talker.
He is a shit talker. And not only that, but he actually gave us a private tasting in that at that bar, remember, in Detroit.
And he gave me
Detroit. Yeah, it was Detroit.
He gave me the best cigar that I've ever had in my life. And he won't tell you what it is. Tell me what it is. He's like, I can't buy it, so you don't need to worry about it.
I gave him my best cigar from Europe. I got a Partagas, the triple one. I gave him one of those because he's never had one before. And when a cigar guy tells you he's never had one before, you got to do it.
Oh, yeah, of course. So it's like that feeling when you walk into Nick's bourbon whiskey collection here. The feeling you get, you're like, holy shit, my collection kind of sucks.
And that's not it at all. Don't ever think that way, because that's the biggest thing I don't want people to think. I don't want anything like, oh shit, my set sucks. No, everybody has something that they enjoy. Everybody has something and they love to share it. And as long as you're not an asshole and you're like mine, you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you have 2 bottles or 2,000 bottles. I will like you equally as much.
We're going to call them seagulls, not assholes.
Seagulls?
Seagulls. You know, mine, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, come on now, seagulls. That's a nicer way to call
some Finding Nemo in here.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. All
right. So, no, but
Steve has kids as well as I do.
Yeah, this.
But that was just straightness.
I decided to go there. I'm going to use that for now.
That's
for you. You are a seagull. And they're going to be like, I'm
you're
not
just such
by
a
that.
Seagull.
But no, it's with that whole thing, I was having a conversation with Alec. And I was excited. So Nick upgraded humidors. He's got a massive one downstairs now. And
oh, the humidor.
Yeah, he sold me his. Oh, I see where you're going with that. All right. So I bought the smaller humidor that Nick had, one of them. And
it's a very nice humidor.
I was excited that I had this. And my home's like 300 cigars or 400 cigars, something like that. And I was excited. So I was talking to Alec. And I was saying, well, Alec, how big is your humidor?
This is my favorite line ever.
And he goes, 2,100 square feet. And I was like, not your house, your humidor. He was like, that is my humidor.
Yeah.
I was like,
2,500 square feet.
Yeah, maybe it was 2,500. I'm like, holy shit.
Yep.
But that makes sense. I mean, coming from the family, coming to who they are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Fun dude.
Super great guy.
He
actually named his son after me. His son's name is Nico. Not really, but that's what he tells everybody. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he's so involved in all the chats. So I'm like,
oh, man, he is. You know,
he seems like a super.
He's super great guy.
He's a very nice guy. Yeah.
He sends me stuff and I send him stuff. He's amazing. He's such a great guy. He is a shit talker, though.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're his best friend or he's like, I mean, it does not matter. He's going to talk shit.
That was the first thing you said. I met him. I shook his hand. He's like, hey, I hope you got thick skin, man, because I'm not going to go easy on you. I'm like, fuck off. How about that?
That is definitely him.
Yeah, he was a good time. A lot of fun. I like that personality. But I also like that, you know, this is before the sale, too, but they did, you know, they had a lot of passion in their product. And
they still do.
They still do. Absolutely. It's just a much larger scale.
It doesn't matter if you sold. I mean, it's still your name on the product, and you're still going to make sure it's done right. Yeah,
absolutely. 100%, Nick.
100%.
Yep. But, no, you two know cigars on a whole different level than I do. I try to smoke them. I just try to be cool, but not.
I enjoy them. I don't think I really know that much, really. I mean, I just know what I like, and I think that's how it is for everybody. That's why there's so many different brands, because everybody's profile is different.
Well, it's not as bad as bourbon right now. Well, it's pretty close. I mean, because
there's so quite a bit of cigars. There's stuff I don't even know about. So,
yeah, there's so many boutique startups that they're kind of dying down a little now because bigger people are buying them up. But yeah, there's so many labels that you're like, I didn't even know this existed.
There's a all black ring company out of Houston called Definition. They sell them at the cigar shop in Cibolo. They are the ones that have the braided colored bands. They're orange, blue, something like that.
Oh, see, I'd probably buy that just because of that.
Yeah, dude, those cigars. Holy crap.
I need to try those next time.
Yeah, and have you been to that cigar shop?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's all black owned, all veteran owned. Super great place. I love that place.
Yep.
Yeah, they're super good people. I love going in there. Unfortunately, I don't live there. So here in town, there's one cigar shop I don't like. We're not going to name names because obviously people probably listen. But there's one I really do like.
Is it the one
like.
That makes you smell bad?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that. You know which one that is.
Yeah. Well, he probably does, but we won't talk about it.
We're not going to show
that. But I do like Tobacco House.
You just did.
I mean, I think it's kind of obvious what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's not that we don't like them. It's just that I can't handle the fact that I walk in there for 4 minutes and I smell terrible.
Well, I mean, when you walk into a place and they make you feel like you're going to steal something, it's like, all right, dude, I've been here like multiple times. Let's calm down.
So best example of that. I went with you to Churchill's in Michigan.
God.
Great restaurant.
I didn't hit it this time like I said I would.
Today. Great humidor in there. They had some hitters of cigars in there. We're walking around. Nobody followed you around. Nobody acted like you were going to steal everything. There was someone available for questions, and that was it. And I love that.
Holy shit.
You see, he had the James E. Pepper on the table. I mean, I saw that when I walked in. I'm like, holy
shit. I got this in the airport.
No kidding.
In Louisville. Lexington. They also had that Eagle Rare 375 up there for $99 for a 375.
No way.
And I was like, And when we landed, I was like, holy shit, I'm going to grab one. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. So I bought this from there. It was $89. I think they usually sell for like $69 here. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want that Eagle Rare too, but I'm not paying you $100 for it. I talked him down to $50, which is still way too much for a 375, but I'll pay $50 for a 375 school trip. That bottle is phenomenal.
That's a big ass lid.
Yeah, when we flew into Nashville,
yeah.
And drove up, and we kind of loved it because we were able to see things that we probably wouldn't have seen if we landed in like Louisville.
Yeah.
And so I recommend it.
I do the same. Nashville's my jam, and it's cheap to fly to Nashville, and it's quick from here.
One way, you know.
Yeah. So I do like Nashville as well because my friend Zach Jones, my brother from another mother.
Travis is there too, right?
Travis is in Tennessee, but he's not.
Tennessee, okay.
Just north of Nashville, so it's literally on the way.
Okay.
And from Dee's house
to
Kentucky, I think like 3 hours or something like that.
We got to go do something with those guys. I mean,
super good.
Yeah. Tennessee's freaking wonderful. So. I have family in West Virginia. My grandfather's originally from there.
West Virginia?
Yeah, but my Aunt Margie and Uncle Harry were in Townsend, Tennessee. So I had family there growing up, too. So it was such a wonderful experience going to Tennessee.
Can we bleep their names because they are in witness protection
program? They're dead.
Oh, man. That was supposed to be funny. You just ruined that. Oh, man. You could have just said something else, man.
Rest in peace.
All right. Well, now I feel like a fucking asshole.
Thanks, Steve.
But hey, you know, it's still from a nice little town.
They're dead. You just came out just hard. You were just like, all right, well, that's what we're doing today.
My bad. Sorry.
I love the color of that one.
That's really good. And so just so y'all know, I don't like anything from the Pepper Distillery. We did a tour. The whole group of us, when we did the RD1 pick, which I also have right there. Oh, shit, I did an RD1
the white
pick,
label.
Too. That's right. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
And the tour was great. And then they gave us like 4 samples to try after the tour, and 3 were horrible. One was good, but it was cast right. But dude, that decanter is good.
Do you feel like when you do tours...
Chicken Tonight?
Yes. It's been a while since I've heard that.
Yeah, that's a good
song.
That
shows your age.
I'm old as fuck, boy.
not as old as me.
That is true. Nor will I ever be.
No, that's true.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. So trying to figure that out. But so this one is good. But do you think that distilleries as a whole, I'll ask you this too. I feel like when you go for a tasting somewhere that they inherently cater to people that don't enjoy whiskey. Right. So the tasters that you get are always generally lower proof.
Not enjoy whiskey. That's not what it is. They go to people that they don't want you to get trashed. I think they just give you their normal stuff. The only place I would say is different is Peerless. Peerless will give you everything cast right. They don't care.
And Peerless is good.
Yeah, Peerless is really good. I don't think it's because people don't care about whiskey. I think 95% of the people that do tours are just like, oh my God, that's cool. Oh my God, that's cool. Because we've all done tours.
Yeah.
And every distillery is the same.
You're enamored by the
our
process.
History. We started this. This is our thing. But, you know, everything is the same.
We use corn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
A little bit of family history difference. But, I mean, most of the time, everything you see is going to be the same everywhere you go.
Yep.
So, if people are going on multiple tours, after you do a tour, you'll be like, oh, okay, this is, I get it now. It's all kind of fall in line. There are some things that are different. And that's about it. But, I mean, the fundamental part of it is different barrels, different tastes, different flavor profiles. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all whiskey. It's all bourbon. It's all whatever.
So, and the thing that they won't talk to you about, which differentiates them from everybody else, is the variety of yeast. Yes. We never hear about it. I mean, that's
because they don't want to tell you,
right? You don't want anybody copying it.
And they'll tell you. They're like, we won't. Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's the big secret, right?
Regular mash, sour mash, sweet mash.
Sweet mash is my jam lately. I'm on this weird sweet mash kick right now.
That's funny, because I have a Louisville over there. It's a sour mash that you
I love sour mash stuff too, but sweet mash
is good. I don't like
Michter's
sour mash.
Michter's is a different animal, but I mean the whole idea of it, so you're on this mash thing. So the whole idea behind sour mash as a whole, it was derived out of a sanitary piece, right? Because like a starter dough for sourdough bread, sour mash is going to be more acidic and it's going to kill more things as you bring it into other stuff. So we've got all these new processes. So sweet mash is actually a reality. So you don't need to always go after the sour mash when you're going after something else, but it changes the flavor profile dramatically.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just kind of, I appreciate both. I truly do. I mean, I like the old, I like the new ones. Yeah. You know what? I just like everything. Screw it.
I mean, We do joke about it all the time, but I mean, there's everything up here that's in here. So I've gotten rid of, when I say get rid of,
it's in his garage.
There's a shit ton of balls in the garage. There's probably like 40 cases.
You can't
cases.
Even walk in there. It's like climbing over stuff.
I mean, yeah, right now it's pretty bad. There's about 40 cases in the garage, but everything up here is stuff I actually enjoy. So there's nothing in here I'm like, I don't like that. I won't drink that. Everything in here right now is something I actually enjoy.
You put all the balconies at my house.
That's fair. Oh, I have a ball he has to try.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's my favorite bottle of all time.
Really?
Yeah. It blows everything. I mean, you're going to drink it and be like, can I get this? I'm be like, I'm sorry, but no.
No.
There's no way. I had 5 bottles altogether, and I think I've drank 3. I've given 1 away. Yep.
Well, you ruined my wife because she did the tasting as well. And she's like, or do all of them taste like this? I was like,
yes. Like, no. I'm a Terry now. People always say thank you. People always say I appreciate you. I'm like, that's great. Your wife messaged me and it was nicest comment ever.
Yeah, my wife was, I mean, because I had the same expectation that we're going to show up and we're going to stand at the bar, right?
So preface it. Take us back a little bit.
Because guess what? So I don't play.
Tell these guys what you're talking about here. What exactly happened? Yeah, where's this coming from?
I just happened to mention to Nick, asked if you ever had a Dusty, and I said, no. I said, but I plan on it when I go to Louisville. And he goes, oh, what days are you going to be there? And I'll set up a tasting. So I was like, oh, that's awesome, right? So in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to show up, stand at the bar, because I've seen I've seen many videos, right? And they're going to pour me samples of a few things, and I'll be on my wife. On my way, my wife would just probably stand there, and I'd give her, you know, a little taste. And so we show up. We ask for Terrence. Shout out to Terrence.
Terrence is a man.
He's awesome. And
Terrence can party, too.
Yeah, he walks, and he keeps walking to this, hits a lever, like, the bookcase, all like, yeah, I've heard about this.
Secret
room. I've never seen this, right? And when I walk in there, he had, you know, 3 sets of glasses set up, and I was like, oh my God. And so my wife's eyes got like, first, because my wife's bougie, right? She knows she is. And her eyes were like, oh my God, when we're going to do this, kind of like, felt so VIP. And he sat us there with like 4 or 5 different Dusties, and, you know, we took 10, 15 minutes to go. He explained, you know, because my wife had no clue, and we just tried them on, and at the end, I was like, oh my God, you know, because she had tried, like, you know, stuff I have in my bar, very little, but she's like, this stuff is so good. I was like, we can't buy bottles like this. Yeah.
It's one of those things, you get into whiskey, you're like, oh, I like whiskey, and you get really into it, and then you're like, oh, a Dusty, oh no, it just ruins you.
It is the so different.
Freaking the best thing you've ever had, because it was back in the days when they... I mean, I don't think people don't love whiskey now. I don't think people don't love making it. But back in the day, it was just a different animal. You know what I mean?
The process was different.
I mean, Ryan has showed pictures. He drank 1910 and 1920 stuff. That's when they used to put
prohibition.
They used to spit tobacco spit into the bottles, like
for color.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, it sounds gross, but at the same time, it sounds fucking amazing. You know, like you find something and you love it. And I've always I am addicted to everything. I'm into something. I'm into it. I'm into cars. I'm into it. I'm into computers. I'm into it. I'm into whiskey. I never left.
Right.
You know, I mean, cars, great. Computers, great. I love building computers, stuff like that. But this is my, this is it. This is me.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And it's such a beautiful thing. And the best part about you can share it.
Yeah.
Right. We can have conversations about it. You can bring other people into your passion. And I think that's
even people that don't enjoy it.
Powerful, right?
I guarantee you, I will find something that somebody doesn't like whiskey will like.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually done it before. Uh-huh. We had a New Braunfels bourbon thing here. And I gave a girl who's like, I hate whiskey. I gave her a smoked maple Knob Creek pancake syrup. She was like, I love whiskey. I'm like, I know. Like, I got you. Like, it's just, there's just so many things.
Yep.
There's something for everybody.
That's my favorite part. When someone comes up to my...
You're my favorite part.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Outside of being your favorite part,
How uncomfortable are you right now?
I'm not at a complete loss for words. Close, but bringing people over to the house and, you know, my collection's like, that
it's not his collection is very nice.
It just
he has a wall of whiskey and he has a closet full too. So don't let him bullshit you.
So people come over and sit down and they say, well, you know, I like this, but I don't know if I like this. You pick. And I'm like,
it's always tough.
Let's talk about where your palate's at. And then they look at me weird and I'm like, all right, what do you like the taste of? So we pick three regular expressions and then I'll kind of narrow it down from there. But then I do get people that come in and say, I don't drink whiskey. I don't like it. I'm like, let me help you out on that. I can find something to help bring you into this, whether it's me adding a little bit of water to it or whether it's finding, like Nick said, something that's got some kind of flavor note to it that brings the sweet in, that brings that in so you can actually appreciate it. Because nobody wants that gasoline burn in their throat, right? Because it takes time to, you know, get past that. Somebody gives me 80 proof now, it's just, juice, right? You know?
Well, it's funny. That's how kind of with cigars is similar to that. I have a humidor, and so I always have people, friends, family that always want a cigar, and I'm, you know, what's mine is yours, right? But usually they'll grab it, take two puffs, and they put it out, and I'm like, you're doing like a $20 cigar. So now I have a smaller little cigar on my desk that people are welcome to grab, and it's usually, you know, the $4, $5, $6 cigars that they smoke it once and they put out. It's not going to bring me
like I have some Swisher Sweets and some Black and Mild for you over here.
My top shelves are for me and my friends that know cigars. The three pullouts on the bottom, that's all for fucking people who are like, I like cigars, I think. This is by far, and I have some expensive bottles, I have some great bottles, I have four different Pappies. Pappy 15s, four different Pappy 15s.
So
I'm a bougie bitch too. This is by far my favorite bottle. I got one of these. I tried it at Pours in the Park like 2 years ago.
I got the Christmas.
And I was like, holy shit, this is so good. And the guy's like, I'll send you one. And he did. And so I sent him a whole bunch of bottles back. His name is Blake Benson. He is a legend. Cheers.
He is absolutely a legend.
I sent him a whole bunch of Orphan Barrels as a thank you because it's literally the best thing ever. He's like, oh, your birthday's in August, right? I said, yeah. He sent me four more. This guy does not mess around. And this is by far my favorite barrel. It is an Obtainium light whiskey, 60% alcohol by volume, finished in KBS. So stout barrels. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to wrestle that bottle away from you when you leave. It is... Oh my god, I just want to cry. I almost want to cry. It's cool. That good.
Powerful. Well, when Nick said the guy's a legend, he's doing him like a little bit of an injustice too, because I mean this dude
gets a private Jesus hotel Christ.
Suite at Poison Park. He has, I don't know if you like ballistic cases that the
every time like he comes to Poison Park,
there's like 20 of them.
He brings about $40,000 worth of whiskey.
Oh yeah. And never disappoints.
No, I mean, and he's like, hey, I want you to try this. You like whiskey? Tell me what you think about this. And it's always the most ridiculous bottles because that's how kind of person he is.
Yeah.
Blake Benson is a legend.
In a true
Isn't that ridiculous?
Wow.
It's like chocolate candy.
Yep.
All those. So I got the Christmas one. I don't have that one.
I mean, they're the same. They're the same.
Are they the same? Okay.
Yeah. So they're the exact same. They're just different.
You don't know how I ration that shit, Nick. That literally.
I don't. So I have this with one person. And it goes right here. I don't like whiskey. I'm like, you do now. But other than that, I do not share this bottle because it's my last one and I will never get another one.
I hear you. I'm a jerk about it too. I have that put away.
That's my one.
I don't share it with people. Yeah, I'm like, this is my little special treat.
I haven't had it in a while because I've been saving what's left. Oh my God.
Wow.
I mean, can you marry a bottle? Is that legal?
I mean, a ring would fit around the top of it.
Yeah.
Whiskey. I can't believe how dark it is.
It's so good.
It's ridiculous. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. So for those that don't know, light whiskey is very light usually.
So it is non-charred barrels.
I can't show the bottle. But there's a ball back there. It's very light. Let's just put it that way.
So light whiskey was put out in an attempt to
help
these neutral grain spirit people, like the clear liquor people, get into something different. So they were like, we got to bring these people in. So we're going to put whiskey in uncharred barrels and see what that does. And maybe we can help bring them in. Well, what that did in the long term was killer. If you've had 16 year, 14 year, 26 year lights, the stuff that came out of Seagram's back in the day before it was MGP, holy shit, it's butterscotch. It's Werther's original. I mean, it's just amazing. The flavor notes off of a light, and it just took a lot more, you know, it took years to pull it. But we've had, you and I have both had like 2, 3, and 4 year lights. What happened? All right. Yeah, don't keep your mic on. Or no throwing up like Dave. Were you on that live when he did that? One, yeah. Poor Dave. I mean, we got to feel bad for him. It wasn't his fault. He was messed up anyway from something else. But yeah, that just didn't hit.
Right.
But if you haven't dabbled a lot in the light world, have you played in the light whiskey world?
I tried the Penelope one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty
good, but it's not this.
It's not. And I try to source out the old MGP stuff, the old Seagram stuff, because A, it'll never be back.
Right.
When you're on 17-year-old MGP, we all know that was Seagram's back in the day, and those barrels are limited. I mean, they're old as shit, they're out there, but once they're gone, they're gone. And the Angel Share, depending on where the rick is, where it's stored, temperature is going to be such a volatile part on how much is actually left in that barrel. So you bring it here, you're screwed. I mean, okay. you're going to lose all of it in the first 2 years. But if it's actually in a reasonable climate like Colorado or like Michigan or like Kentucky, you know, where they actually have cooler nights and then the hotter days, you're on a barrel of that age, you're talking about between a 50 and a 60% loss. So you've got this barrel that's got this much in it. It's, you know, 17 to 20 years old. What comes out of it is just pure pleasure. I mean, it's just, I love all of them. And whenever I share that with somebody that doesn't drink a lot of bourbon, a lot of whiskey, I said, well, this is light whiskey. They look at me like you just handed them a light beer, right? Yeah. They're like, I can handle regular whiskey. I need full strength.
I don't need that light whiskey.
I'm like, okay.
You're going to learn today.
Let me help you because that's not what this is. But that one, God, there's nothing like that obtainium. That's
I might cut all that tonight. I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm just going to lay there in bed. I love you.
Well, I was saying the Dusty experience was my favorite experience, but
that's
really good.
This was pretty close.
Don't worry, we got some Dusties. We'll open one of the Dusties for sure.
Oh man,
I got told no in Kentucky because Dan's like, you don't have a siphon, you don't have this, you don't have that. I'm like, all right, man. So I didn't open it.
Well, because the corks like completely disintegrate every time, you know.
Yeah.
You open the queen bottle. There's the light up there. That one's hot.
That's not really light though. It's more Canadian.
Well, it's still light. It's just light. Yeah.
I know.
More rare perfection. I mean, that's the same idea.
You just have to come over for a weekend because there's so many things that we have to try. Like, oh, you got to try that. We got to try that. Like, oh, God. So,
yeah. So many to try.
Yeah, this is amazing.
We'll get some IVs. We'll get some those IV girls to come and like plug us in. We'll be good, you know.
Greg's wife does it.
Does she?
Yeah. It's Greg. Greg Dorman. Like, big dude sitting next to us.
Oh, his name's Greg?
Yes. The doctor?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The good doctor?
The one that...
The surgery on people's lives? Yes. He did, dude. He saved a guy in the airport, man.
Oh, so, did he really?
Oh, literally. Oh, yeah, shit. They showed up like 4 a.m. in the Austin airport. And Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got this story right. They show up like all of a sudden, just randomly at 4 in the morning, like this random dude just collapses and starts having this massive heart attack. And Greg jumped right in there, performed CPR, like saved the dude. Like, there's pictures of Greg with this guy. I mean, man's a superstar, you know.
You don't backwash, do you?
Uh-huh.
You don't backwash, do you?
I hope not.
Well, I'm going to regret this in the morning.
It's primarily chew spit, but don't worry about that. Anyway, no. Greg,
why does it taste like Redmond?
Dr. Greg, I should be throwing his last
name. That's right, Dr. Greg. Oh,
Dr. Greg is an amazing human. I mean, thank you for everything you do. He's a surgeon, but does a lot of good shit, and he's a huge whiskey guy, too.
Oh, yes.
So,
he was good tasting yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
He lives in the hood here. He lives right down the street.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know his name was Greg, though. I thought his name was something else. That's really, I feel terrible because I didn't know his name was Greg.
He's a supporter of TWC.
Yeah, he is.
He just got our, he got the Klein and him got the blue ones on the tumblers.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but yeah, love that. But anyhow, we've been like rattling our freaking mouths off about every damn thing. Been? I don't
it's
even
9
know.
O'clock. What time we start?
I don't
7:30?
Don't know.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, we're probably good. But
we there's still a couple things we could try. So I'm a huge fan of Indiana Jones.
I thought that was a fly fishing rod. It's a whip.
I have Sean Connery and Harrison Ford's autograph in the other room because I'm a huge fan. So this is, for those who don't know, you don't know me apparently, but this is good times. This is their dark fruit. So this is single barrel, straight bourbon whiskey finished in cherry brandy, raspberry brandy, and blackberry brandy casks.
Brandy.
So we've been here before. Nick, I love you, but they add stuff to their
bottles. They have to.
Oh my God. So it is so
this,
good.
This is the second dark fruit one you've given me, right?
It is. This one is.
The other one had a Lego guy on it.
Thank you. This is a Lego guy too. The other one had. No, the other one had. Oh,
yeah, banana or something on
right
it?
Right there. Right there. The red ones. It had.
Oh, Big Bird.
No, Big Bird was not dark fruit.
Oh, all right.
The PlayStation game. Twisted Metal guy.
Oh, yeah.
Twisted Metal guy. So this one is an Indiana Jones. So they. This is from, I believe, this is actually not from Good Times.
I had my nose on that one, right? Yeah.
This is from, okay, so there's a group called Good Times Nationwide, and they sell this stuff. But other groups like Retro Barrel Select do, like, cool, like,
gaming. Oh, I love gaming. That. I don't
know. Yeah. Smell that.
Yeah, it has, like, a fruit.
Oh, it's, wait till you try it.
It is literally like eating a fruit roll-up and chugging bourbon at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever had Good Times before?
I've had the cigar blend.
Oh, okay. You haven't been broken in, right?
Dude, the raspberry. Yeah. We got to give him raspberry. Oh, you're going to die tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to send you home with samples because I don't want you to get like, we're going to have to carry you to the car. So his wife is picking him up, which is very, very awesome of her.
So we're being more responsible now.
We are. Yes.
Look at that.
Text was true.
Steps, though.
Oh, we'll get you.
We'll carry you. Yes. We'll carry you down. Well, like, you grab the legs, I'll grab the arms. Yeah.
Let's get him down there.
You can Bernie.
That's right. I wanted to say it, but a lot of people don't know the movie, but they should. There we go. I know. If you haven't watched Weekend at Bernie's, what are you doing?
The other side, you know, I'm trying to find movies to watch with my kids. You know, they're getting there in age. You know, I've got a very mature 10-year-old and an almost 13-year-old. Wait, well, I haven't done that, but I'll tell you what I did, which was a little embarrassing.
Oh, no.
10 and 13, and I was like, oh, you guys haven't watched Dodgeball. You got to watch Dodgeball.
Yeah,
like, that's a, you know, my wife and I are always using that reference. You mean dodge a wrenching, dodge a ball.
Wait till we shove it in Porsche in the park.
Yeah, we're doing the, yeah. Oh, you've got to.
Oh, we're doing it. We're doing it.
So we're watching it. Shelly and I are sitting there watching it with the boys, and they're laughing their butt off about all these different things, and there's like all these innuendos, and I'm fine with it. And like till the very end, and then it's just like this constant stream. I'm like, and my son looks over at me, he goes, so what's bisexual? I'm like, well, that means you like two.
It's like a bicycle, but different.
I'm like, that means you like two different things equally as well. So let's just go with that. Well, what do you mean? Nothing. Get downstairs, time for bed. I'm like, Shelly looks at me, she says, you picked it.
Yep, that's true. Steve did pick it.
But, it, you know, it's a funny movie, though. I love those purple jogging suits. Pirate Steve. So have you
wait till Pours in the Park. That's all I'm going to say.
Have you watched Resident Alien?
Resident Alien. Oh, it's on Netflix already.
It's on Sci-Fi Netflix. So if you get a chance,
yeah,
I'm going to plug that show because I thought it was freaking it's amazing. We just finished it up.
Steve the Pirate is the main character. Do you want an 83 turkey or do you want an Old Fitz?
Nick, this is your choice as always because you're pulling shit that nobody can buy.
So the Old Fitz is a screw top, I believe. So we're going to do Old Fitz. The reason why is because I don't have to worry about fucking
that's like
up,
right? 1960s.
I'm going to look right now. I'm going to check the date because I don't want to lie and be wrong.
The cork's going to go.
All right. Ryan said this one is. Ryan also sent me a picture because he's a fucking asshole of him smoking cigars with Matt fucking Booth.
That is true. He is.
Why couldn't I stay for that, Ryan? Ryan didn't tell me about that one. Ryan also didn't tell me that he had a whole bunch of Basil Hayden swag in the back, which he's like, come up and get
it. Is that who made my bracelet? Like the designer? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he designs it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a, the 8 year. This is a 90 proof. I know it's 90 proof. What year is it? He doesn't have a year on this one. He does not have a proof on this one.
You really?
I mean, not proof. Sorry. Yeah. That's what I bought it for.
I can't take pictures of it because my phone's recording.
I'll take a picture of it for you. So this is an Old Fitz. I'm a huge fan. So we tried. I went on a tasting. I was like, I want to do Dusty's, and he gave me a white label. And to this day, that's still my favorite bottle. It was super, super like creme brulee. Just it was such a great bottle. These are lower proof. It's only 90 proof, but man, this is a 1 liter. This ball's older than we are.
I know. Give me your phone. Put it on record.
Put it on record?
I need clips. Here. While you're opening that.
Just don't look at the pictures. You're going to fucking see some shit.
I know better.
You definitely going to see some shit you don't want to see.
I know better than that. All right. So, go ahead. So,
this is a liter. Not 750. Ready?
Yes, sir.
There it is. I'm not going to tell you how much I'm
being small. That hasn't been smelled in how many years?
Since it was made, I don't know. A long fucking time. I'm pouring a lot of this one because tomorrow is not guaranteed, boys.
That's true. Cheers, buddy.
There we go.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, cheers.
Cool. Thank you. Anyway, for those that are listening to us, Nick just cracked something, and the cork didn't disintegrate, did it?
No, because there is no cork.
Oh, it's screw top.
It is a screw top.
Bove, don't try
this. Oh, no, Bove's like, you paid too much for that bottle. That was $99. Bove, it was more than $99.
So did we figure this was the 1960s?
I don't have an age statement on this one, which is weird.
So we're guessing this is in the 1960s.
Wow. I mean, I don't think so, because the price, I'm assuming, is not 1960s. Probably around 70s or 80s.
The cap's plastic, right?
Yeah. I can look it up by the...
probably would have been late 60s, early 70s.
I can look at the number and look it up and see. God, that nose, man. The thing about Dusty's is there's always a nose. There's something about it. It just... God.
There's nothing like it, man. I mean, truly, for those of you that haven't ever had something that old,
you're fucking missing out.
You are, truly. Because everyone has...
It's amazing.
And I can't pin what it is, but they all have
there's a note. There's something
similar
there.
Note to them. Yeah. I mean, they're all there.
I'm not a huge fan of Dusty turkeys. Because the turkeys have like a different kind of note.
It's just weird when the feathers get all like...
I know. But like there's one I had, which was a pewter base. That one was phenomenal. But the regular turkeys, I'm just not a fan. Like the regular turkey stuff. But this one, I'm a huge Old Fitz fan. Old Fitz fan. I just killed a ball the other day. I have this one, another one, dude. And then a 375.
I can't.
I know, you can't pick it. It's almost like a burnt exhaust.
It is.
That's why I always say on the note,
it's like
I know it sounds horrible, but it's really good.
It's like you say, it's an emotional experience because of the age and how long it's been. I didn't exist, likely, when this was bottled. And that freaks me out, man. I mean, like as a big picture thing, that's really crazy. My parents were probably kids.
Right.
This one's better than the last one I had.
Dude, this is good.
It's so all, it's got a little creme brulee on it. There's a little bit of burnt sugar on there.
Like when I smell it, I smell like back when I was a kid, I opened my dad's
briefcase.
Yep. And like the old paper that's in, I mean, it just has like an old, I mean.
And that's what it is for me. Like, I have some old decanters that my dad had. No whiskey in them. But that's like an old Fitz from like the 40s. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had whiskey in it, I'd be rich. Oh my God.
But also knowing this is an experience that you'll likely never have again.
I'm glad we had it tonight.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Yes, cheers. Cheers. Thank you very much.
You know, thanks for cracking that, man.
Of course. I enjoy.
That's a special bottle.
I enjoy stuff like this. Like, it's. What's the point of drinking whiskey if you can't share it?
I agree.
That's
Brent,
what it is.
Brent, 100%, buddy.
100%. Brent, we drink every time we say 100%. 100%.
Hey, Dave, 100%, any 100%. Chance you can give a shout out to Brent and tell him 100%?
Brent, 100%, buddy.
That's right. Drink like 20 times. Brent, just kill that bottle. Brent, bitch can't finish it all. Hey!
Brent's driving off the road in his Audi, man.
He's driving an Audi.
Brent is truly a master mechanic when it comes to Audis. So much so.
Oh, so he's really good because Audis are pieces of shit.
Oh, you hurt his feelings, man.
I'm getting an R10.
His dude.
I'm getting an R10.
If he drives.
All right. But it's a V10.
So he drives. He has a client that lets him take the R8 out and go on like pleasure drives and stuff like that. But so
every time
so,
you ride with me, it's called pleasure drive.
Yes, every time. But it's
you're welcome, lady.
I'm always out there in the auto. I'm always there in the winter months, and he's like, "Well, it's all wheel drive. We can go out." I'm like, "Yeah." But so last time we were up, Kevin's water pump went out in his Grand Cherokee. So we were pulling snowmobile trailers up to the parking lot, and Brent's like, "Well, I've got an all road. You can just take that." Well, and that's fine, but it's a. So I get in this, and it's got like 270,000 miles. It's a stick shift, all road, and we hook a snowmobile trailer up to it. And I'm like, I hope this does it right, but it's a stick, so that'll be fun to drive. Holy shit, dude. Not only did he have these Swiss snow tires that you can't buy anywhere on it, and we had the worst roads, but this thing is dragging this trailer along. I'm railing through gears. It's driving just amazing with 270,000 miles. He's like, yeah. He goes, It was an automatic start. I put a standard in it. I'm like, oh, he dude, when I
you, that's
he,
not like a 5 minute thing.
When you
buy, yeah, I just put a standard in it.
So Brent is the guy that buys. So timing chains tend to go out on a lot of the German cars around 80 to 100
timing
miles.
Chains.
Yes. So his clients come in, they're like, oh. My timing chain's going. What's
no,
the labor? What's
my the, timing chain's
right.
Out. Yeah, yeah.
What's the labor?
That was really
on that?
Shitty German. Sorry, that was really
labor
bad.
Is 8 to 12 hours, and it typically costs like $6,000 or $7,000. So most everybody's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So he gives them like $3,000 and buys their car from him, and then he, on his free time, replaces all the stuff, and is able to turn them and either keeps them for himself to drive his family cars or sells them.
He's very Audi. Very Audi.
He has made me an Audi.
I'm gonna give
fan.
You $3,000. I'm gonna buy your car and then I'm gonna resell it and make more money.
No, he drives a lot of them.
100%.
Oh, we love you,
Brent. Drink some more.
Next time he's out, we're gonna hang out. But no, Brent.
Next time he's Audi.
Audi. Brent's one of my favorite people, man.
I just want you to know, I bought the fucking. Oh, I rented. Sorry, not bought. I rented the fucking. I went to the when I flew. I love this
Holy
story.
Shit.
I rented a Audi when I went to Michigan. And he's like, which one do you want? I said, the fucking shitty-ass blue color right there. It was bright-ass blue.
Just because Sean, right?
Let me see what happened.
So I was like, I want that one. It's obnoxious. I want that one. He's like, okay. So I took it. I'm fucking ripping through auto shifter gear, whatever. It's like DCT, whatever it was.
The paddle shifter things, yep.
Yeah, dual clutch. So I get there, and I pull up, and I'm like, it's exact. I was like, I want the douchiest one you got. And he's like, got you. I pull up. Sean's got the exact same color. His RS4 or 5 or 6, where the fuck Sean
Sean's
has.
Got an RS5?
Yeah, whatever he's got, yeah.
Dude, that car's
dude, Dan good. Had one too. Dan had a nicer version than Sean's,
dude,
I think.
Dude, that RS5's no joke. I mean, that's a badass
car. My favorite
car.
Story ever is the when we first bought it, when we first bought Evernorth Virtue, whatever it was, we left. And so Dan fucking floored it, trying to be a badass out of the fucking parking lot. Literally was fishtailing. So when I leave too, he's like facing me. He's like, I'm going to go this way. He
he floored it out of Evernorth, which was originally Virtue, and just fishtailed it back. He's like, I'm gonna go that way.
Yeah, that's the best correction. I mean, like, I forgot something at the house. I'll see you in a minute. Keep driving.
He spun it completely, like, 180. Like,
I didn't miss the correction.
Oh my god, it was so good. It was so great.
That's cool. But you know, I think you brought us to a good end note.
It is an end note. It is an end note. That's why I did it.
It's freaking amazing.
End it with a fucking fatty.
Yeah.
She got a fat ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
I don't.
That is the best nose in a very long time.
I don't want it to end.
That's right. Unlike this podcast, which is not over.
Yeah, it was over about 20 minutes ago. You know, it's all right. But you know what? We appreciate y'all's support out there.
Thank you so much to Cibolo Dave on Instagram. Thank you guys.
Jump on Insta at Cibolo Dave out there.
We love to find post him. Content. Dave blows us out of the water.
He does.
He posts the dude great pictures.
It's killer. He does great content. We love it. Guys. Get out there. Give him a follow. Feel free to comment on YouTube. The video will be out there. And if you don't subscribe to us, you better subscribing.
You can put comments on Spotify too now.
Well, for sure. We love that.
So yeah.
But yeah.
Don't like it. We don't care.
Give us feedback. Tell us what you really think. We really don't care. But
Dan and Sean, your palates are trash, but we still love you. Go ahead.
We love y'all. And Dave, the other Dave.
Dave
1.0.
Ginger Dave.
We'll see when you come back, man. We'll save you a little pour, but
probably not.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, man, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.